Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another wonderful, awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast today. How are you guys doing this morning or this day? Just glad to be able to get one more episode in before the end of the year. We are now days away from 2023 ending, and we'll be going into a wonderful and awesome new year, 2024. Are you excited? Are you looking forward to what God is going to do in your life? I hope you are. I hope right now that you are in good spirits. I hope that everything that happened in 2023, it happened. Whether it be good or bad, it was a chapter that is already beginning to close, and now we're going into the next chapter. We're moving forward, amen. So I'm really hope that you're doing well. I hope that all is well with you and your family, and wishing you a happy new year going forward, and be safe. Whatever you do, if you go out to dinner or maybe going out and about, please be safe out there. And we're going to be getting into the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4 today. And I've been really having a good read through the book of Romans. I'll say it again. As I said it, you'll hear me say at the end of this episode that I will be continuing to go through the book of Romans. There's so much more to read, so much more that we can go through the book of Romans. And we're going to be learning so much going through Paul's writing to the Jewish people in the book of Romans. So I'm really looking forward to that in the next year of 2024. So anyways, hopefully you all had a wonderful Christmas, a wonderful holiday, whatever you celebrated, or if you did, maybe a quiet holiday, maybe a quiet day off, even if you didn't celebrate, doesn't matter. Also, for those of you that do celebrate Christmas, that do love Christmas as much as I do, there is recordings of Christmas recordings that is only on Spotify, though, unfortunately, but they're only on Spotify. There are Christmas episodes of wonderful Christmas songs, some of my favorite Christmas songs of the year, or of the season, I should say, and some of them are the same Christmas songs that I've had from the previous years as well. But I love listening to Christmas music, and I love the celebration of the Christmas season, of not only of the lights and the gift giving and the food and all the things that you can think about Christmas, but also the songs. It's a lot of songs that glorify the Lord. And also I do embrace the fact that Christmas is a time that we can focus on the gift, the greatest gift that God has ever given us, and that is his son Jesus Christ, and how remarkable those events were about the angels appearing to the shepherds in the field, and also the wise men coming in and giving gifts to the newborn child, the king, pretty much. Okay, and so all these things, we go through scripture reading as well, and we go through the Christmas devotionals that we also have. So again, just to reiterate, please, go check those out. Also, if you want, go back and check out some of my previous recordings from the book of Romans. Again, this is going to be just a wonderful reading going through the book of Romans. And today, will be another exceptional episode for you today. I hope, again, all is well. God bless you. And I will see you in 2024. Until then, sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. All right, so let's get into today's
Bible reading from the book of Romans. We're going to be reading Romans chapter 4, and we'll be reading the entire chapter today, getting prepared to really get into God's word today. Let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to read your word this morning and be able to get whatever it is that you have for us, Lord God. I pray that as we listen to your word, as we kind of expound on your word, maybe just talk about your word, the writings of Paul and what we can learn from what he has said in the book of Romans to the Jewish people and how we can apply this word to our lives, Lord, today. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. We thank you for just your faithfulness that you've always given us, though we sometimes are unfaithful, but you remain faithful. Lord, we thank you for provision. We thank you for prosperity in the sense of just your everyday provision of us. Lord, we thank you for our health and our strength, Lord. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Lord God. We pray that anyone that may be listening that does not have a relationship with you will possibly decide today will be the day to give their heart, their life, and follow you and be your disciple for you. And Lord, we praise you. We praise you for those that are listening. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let's get into this. Romans chapter 4, and it's entitled The Faith of Abraham. Abraham was humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover? What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are not counted as righteous, not because of their works, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. It says here, as he quoted, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin." Now, is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? Was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not based on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you a father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just because Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Well, all right. So what did you guys think about that passage of scripture in Romans chapter 4? Let's get back into this. So I love what Paul was talking about. And before we get into this discussion about it, understand Abraham was not a perfect man. We saw, you know, as you read in the Old Testament, in Genesis, we read different things about Abraham and, you know, how he didn't tell the truth about his wife, Sarah. And, you know, he didn't have faith at that time. And, you know, he thought, you know, maybe I ought to tell the king at that time that my wife Sarah was my sister. And that was a lie. That wasn't the truth. And he did that not once but twice. And then not only that, but after hearing from God that God gave him the promises about him having a child, Isaac, he was old, like the Bible says, he was old, and he was trying to, you know, otherwise he couldn't have a child with his wife. So they decided on having, his wife decided to allow him to have intercourse with their maidservant. And that became an issue as well. So, I'm saying this not to put Abraham down. The things that Abraham went through and did, as far as mistakes were, these are things that all of us would have probably done. I'm not saying that we would do the things exactly like him, but people have, down throughout history and in our lifetime now, you know, people have known to lie about, you know, their spouse, or lie about, or sleep with someone else outside of their marriage. All kind of things, you know, things that should not be done. These are sins. These are sins of the human sins, right? These are things that we do. And so, but what I love about outside of this is God still chose him. God still dealt with him. God still gave him the title of the father of faith. And because of him, because of his stance and having believed God, even when he had told him and he stood on that promise, then that's what pleased God. That's what pleased the Lord. And he was accounted to him as righteous. How does that make you feel today? It should make us all feel that even though we make mistakes, even though we do the things we do, like Abraham has done, or maybe worse, you know, God still loves us. And God is faithful to us, and God is righteous, and calls, and maybe even calls us righteous when we believe in Him. So I just wanted to kind of put that in there before we get into break this apart here. And so I like what Paul is saying. And so Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of the Jewish, of our Jewish nation. And like I said before, Paul was talking to the Jewish people. He says, what did he discover about being right with God? Okay, he said, if his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. He probably, you know, in one sense would have had something to boast about because of the things he did good. But at the same time, if your deeds are what makes you right with God, then at some point, maybe you didn't do enough deeds. Maybe you fall short of some good deeds. Maybe compared to someone else, your deeds don't match up with their deeds, you see? And so just like as we all come to Christ from different times and different points in our lives, that deed meter, so to speak, is adjusted. Like I might be walking with the Lord longer than some of you may have, or some of you out there may have been walking with the Lord longer than me. And maybe your deeds, you have more deeds than me. So if our deeds are based upon whether or not we are made right with God, who gets in, who is favored, who is considered righteous. So this is what Paul is making this argument in Romans chapter 4, as we discover today. He says here in verse 2, if his good deeds had been made acceptable to God, he would have something to boast about. But that was not God's way. Verse 3 says this, for the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of what? His faith. And this is the heart of the chapter of chapter 4 right now. We're discovering that the righteousness of God, or to be made right with God, has nothing to do with how much you did, how long you've done it, or how many times you've done it, but it has a lot to do with your faith. And this is what separates Christianity from all the religions in the world that we know about today. Some of you out there may be trying to discover what Christianity is about. It is about faith in God. Your faith in God will help you grow. Your faith in God will help you grow closer to Him, will grow in Him as you read His word, as you spend time in prayer with Him. So these things will begin to manifest and help you mature in your faith and growing in God. You say, see, it's not about how much you say. It's not how many scriptures you know, how many Bible verses you know, how many times in the day you pray or in the week that you pray, or how many times you post a scripture, whether it be on Instagram or on internet. You know, you can't tell of my faith and my relationship with God based on you seeing me on Instagram, or you seeing me on Facebook, or you seeing me, or you hearing me on this podcast, and you see, oh wow, he preaching the word and he posting these scriptures on the internet. Listen, you can't base that as if to say I'm doing right by God. I'm gonna say that again. I'm putting myself out there. You cannot say that I'm righteous by you hearing me right now on this podcast, teaching about the word of God, posting the scriptures on my Facebook page and my Instagram page. And as I put myself like that, I would say that to anyone. Your faith in God is what makes you right with God. Nobody can really tell what you are or who you are, but based on your faith in God. And I'm gonna tell you, maybe in some instances, you'll know how much faith you have based on the situations and circumstances of your life and who you run to and what you do, what your decisions are and what you decide to do in the midst of a situation, whether it's a circumstance, whether it's a bad situation, something that will drive you to your knees, drive you to some kind of point of desperation. Who do you call on? Do you call on your friend? Do you get worried? Do you have anxiety? So we have to get to a place of the core belief of each and every one of us is our core belief in God. Okay, let's continue on in this verse. Verse 4 of chapter 4 says, when people work, their wages are not a gift. Let's say that again. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. Do y'all agree with that? I agree with that. In other words, I go to work, and when I go to work, I earn a wage. If I don't go to work, I don't earn. So it's not a gift. Your check that your employer gives you is not a gift to you. It is what you earned. It is what you went, you put the hours of work in, and you earned a check. Salvation is not something that you earn. It's not something that you do, you know, I'm have to get my prayer in because I gotta put this in the my payroll account, my heavenly payroll account, because I gotta earn my way into heaven. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about that you have to do that. I've got to read this many scriptures. I got to listen to so much gospel music. I got to post this verse of the day. I got to do this to make sure. If anything, it doesn't do anything for your faith. In other words, your relationship with God becomes stagnant if you don't spend time with him, if you don't pray to him, if you don't talk to him, if you don't read about him in his word and pray and apply this word to your life. Let's continue on in verse 5. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their faith, of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Listen, the burden is not on you or me. It's on God. And God doesn't, and it's not even a burden to God. God forgives sinners. Who is a sinner? I am a sinner. You are a sinner. Your friend is a sinner. Your relative, your mother, your father, your son or daughter, your cousin, your whoever it is, your next door neighbor, your boss, your coworker, those people that are around you are considered sinners. We're born sinners. We came in this world. So everything that you hear about was somebody messing up, somebody doing this, somebody should have been doing that, but they weren't. You know, you get all kind of things that you hear on the internet, and you see things and people doing damnable things. That's because they're sinners. That's because they sin. That's because they're operating in sin. They're not operating in the spirit. They're operating by the flesh. They're not doing what God wants them to do. They're doing what they self want them to do, what the flesh want them to do. They are sinners. Verse 6, David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. And this is his quote. It says in verse 7, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. And this is, you can find this in the book of Psalms, verse 32 and verses 1 and 2. And it is a joyful thing. It's a joyful thing to understand and know that your record is cleared of sin. When you stand before the Lord after believing him, having faith in what he has done, that he is forgiving you, you stand before him in heaven knowing that your record has been cleared of sin. That is your reward. That in other words, that is a reward, but that is a gift. That is a gift. And why? Because God loves you. God loves me. He loves me so much that he does not want me. He wants to clear me of sin, clear me of my record of wrong. Is he saying because he just don't want to look at it? He don't want to deal. No, he knows this, that if we're trying to work our way, we can't do enough works to please him, to get into heaven. So what he's done is says, I'm giving you a gift and I'm going to clear you of sin. And I'm going to declare you righteous only if you believe in me, if you trust me, if you follow me. And I will declare you righteous. You are not a sinner, but you are a saint. You are a child of God in my eyes. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. If they know you from your past, if they know the things you used to do, that's what you used to do. That's who they knew you as. But now, by your faith in God, you are now a child of God. Your sins, the things that the people have known you for, is now in the past. It's been cleared. Your record has been cleared. It's just like you standing before a judge and you go to court and you stand before him knowing that you have done all these things. But the judge says, I'm going to forgive this and I'm going to clear this, these offenses. Maybe some of you have never done anything wrong. Maybe you got a speeding ticket. And instead of you getting a fine for that speeding ticket, the judge says, I'm going to waive it. I'm going to clear it. You're no longer responsible for this speeding ticket. You see? Maybe some of you understood you should have been going to jail, but you were forgiven. There's all kind of things. Maybe you're a child and you were supposed to be on punishment, but your parent said, you know what? I'm not going to punish you this time. I'm going to waive this. I'm going to forgive you for this and I'm going to let you go. You see, this is the examples I'm giving. Like David was saying, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. He says three things. And the third thing he says, and yes, but joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. See, disobedience is forgiven. Sin has been put out of sight. That means he don't see it. And three, he says, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Nobody else, but the Lord has. Isn't that wonderful? This should show you that you're not against the Lord. The Lord ain't against you. He's not out to get you. He's not out to send you to hell. He's for you. He's taking every obstacle out of your way to be with him. The choice is up to you. The choice is up to you. He says, I'm willing to clear your record of sin. I'm willing to no longer look at your sin. And I'm willing to forgive you of your disobedience. Listen, what excuse do you have? What excuse do you have? You have no excuse. The Lord loves you. He wants you. He's got his arms open out to say, come. You see? So let's take a quick short break and we'll be right back. All right, so welcome back. So let's pick up where we left off, and we're in verse 9. And it's very interesting at this point in the letter that Paul now is talking to them and telling them that about Abraham. And he's saying about him being circumcised, because I'm assuming those that he's speaking with have questions. You know, is this just only for the Jews, or is it for the Gentiles, like he says in verse 9? Now, is the blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for uncircumcised Gentiles? Remember, uncircumcised Gentiles is one, those of us, which is you and me, that are outside of this Jewish category. Okay, we were not circumcised ceremonially. Now, some of us might, you know, men have been circumcised, but again, for those reasons, under what Abraham and those in that time, they were different. They were because of a different ceremony to show the outer sign that they are God's people. Okay, so it says, well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? That's a good question, Paul asks. He says, was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? Now, he's asking a very valid question. He's in other words, he's making you think. Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Okay, circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is a spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. Isn't it amazing how many times that we've read so far in this passage of scripture of the amount of times of faith? See, it's amazing. So we have to remember that here. You know, we are counted as righteous even under Abraham, who has basically was counted to him as righteous. It was counted to him as righteous. Because what? Because the circumcision was not based on, okay, you got to do this and now you're one of mine. No. It's almost like, I'm going to tell you this. I'm sorry to interrupt it, but this just came to me. Circumcision was almost like you getting a tattoo. And I know those of us understand that, you know, circumcision is painful. And this is why it's done when you're a child. But so is having a tattoo. It's kind of painful. The tattoo is shown on your physical body. You know, different designs, different things of what you put the tattoo on as a design as it is, like a name or something. It is a sign that you belong to God. I'm not saying a tattoo. I'm talking about the circumcision. And that was under the Jewish culture. That was the thing that Abraham had done. And therefore, everyone after Abraham began to do the same thing. So it was saying that he was already considered righteousness. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham was already had faith, and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous. Okay, very important to understand this portion right here. And so in verse 13, clearly God promised to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not based on his obedience to God's law, but a right relationship with God that comes by faith. See, you hear that? So the relationship with God was not based on the deeds or him obeying the law. It was based on his obedience to God's, his right relationship with God that comes by faith. See, a relationship with God that comes by faith. That should be good news to some of y'all out there. See, you don't have to, I know eventually we're getting to the point, we're going to get in the scriptures in Romans here, that where does the law fit in? And is there a point of accountability to obey the law? And we're going to just hold on in there, because Paul's going to address that. Because just as we are celebrating the fact that we have that we are counted as righteous through God through our obedience or our relationship with God through faith. Okay, that's something to celebrate. But also, where does the law fit in? Where does the accountability of you doing right, where does that come? We're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that. So I encourage you to keep watching what we're doing or what I'm doing, what we're reading through the book of Romans. Amen. So it says here in verse 14, if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promises is pointless. See, so he's talking about the relationship with God, and he's talking about being righteous with God. Okay, it's based on faith. Okay, and if it was only for those who obey the law, then you don't need to have faith in that, because the promise becomes pointless. You don't need to have faith in doing what works for God. So it says, for the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. And again, we'll get to this, because of course we understand, even in the world we live in, even in now, we have laws for a reason. We have laws. There are laws being established in our countries, in our cities, in the places you live, in the places I live. Law is for some order. Law is for a deterrent. It's a corrective measure. It is something to keep things in order, to keep things with people from breaking the law or doing things that are not right. Or there's certain ordinances that are in place in your city, in your town, where you stay at. You know, there are moral codes. There are what you call moral laws that God even has, right? Of the, you know, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not covet. You know, thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, all these things. Thou shalt not steal. You see? So all those things are what you call moral laws. And guess what? From the time that the Bible was ever written, even before it was written, and throughout history, people have broken all and every single one of these laws. Every one of them. We're talking murder. We're talking stealing. We're talking coveting. We're talking every single law that you can read out of the book of Moses or in the Old Testament, out of the Ten Commandments and more that was written. Mankind has broken every single one of these laws. There's not one of us that's never broken any of those laws. If it's not literally, almost spiritually, almost in a psychological way, we have done it. Okay? So we have all broken something. We have all disobeyed and broken some kind of law. And if you or I have, since we have broken these laws, guess what? We deserve death. We deserve punishment, and we don't deserve to be in the presence of God or go to his heaven. See? And so this is why this part of what Paul is writing to the Jewish people is very important. Because if we are trying to earn a relationship with God and be forgiven, we can't do it by obeying the law. Because once you break a law, you're done. That's how God sees it. God wants perfection. Other words, from the time that you are born to time now. So listen, some people will say, well, who can be perfect? No, none of us can. I can't. You can't. No one can. No one can be perfect from the time of their birth to now, to whatever day or whatever age you're at. You can't be perfect. See? You listen. And I hate to break this to some of y'all, because I know some of you are either believers or Christians, but even after you being a Christian, you're going to break a law. You're going to disobey God. You're going to do something that is going to offend somebody. You're not going to be perfect still. So this is very important. Verse 16. So the promise is received by what? Faith. There's that word again, faith. Listen to this. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it. I love what Paul says. He said, we are all certain to receive it. Whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who what? Believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you a father of many nations. You can read this in Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. It says this happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead back to life, and he creates new things out of nothing. Now, listen to this part. When he said that, he believed God who brings the dead back to life. Abraham was tested with his son Isaac when he had his son. Remember, this was the son that God told him he would have when he was 100 years old. Okay, when he physically cannot produce a son. His wife was so old she could not carry a son because her womb was dead, considered dead. She was barren. She couldn't have children. So Isaac was a miracle. But yet God tested Abraham and told him, take your only son and sacrifice him. Give him to me. Put him on the altar and kill him. Just in case some of y'all think that sacrifice meant, like, you know, how we say, like, my parents dedicated me to the Lord. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about literally, like, sacrificing your son to me. It was a test. It was a test. And guess what? He passed the test. And listen how he passed it. He says, Abraham believed in the God who what? Brings the dead back to life. If he killed his own son Isaac for God, he also believed that God would bring him back to life. He believed that. And he says, who creates new things out of nothing. Guess what? His son was born. He couldn't have a child. He couldn't produce. He was too old. Physically, he was too old, and he knew that. Verse 18, it says, even when there was no hope, no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. Why? Because God told him. Because God said that he would be the father of many nations. And even though he never had a child before 100, the Lord told him that he's going to be the father of many nations. I'm sure some of us would have laughed at that. What do you mean I'm going to be a father of many nations? Well, I can't even have one child. My wife can't even have one child. How can I be the father of many nations? How am I going to be a father of anything? For God has said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. Abraham's faith was not weakened. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. You see, God gives you a promise, and it seems impossible. It seems like how in this world, how in my body, how in my situation, how in my circumstance, you telling me that I'm going to be able to do this, or this is going to happen. And I don't have enough money for it. I don't have enough resources for it. I don't have enough education. This is the same thing. And God is telling you, you will become the CEO of this company. You will be able to buy a house. You will be able to be the head of this company and run this company. See? But you don't know if you have, in other words, in the natural. But God says, I can do it. Remember, he says here, he says that he believed in a God that not only can bring the dead back to life, but create new things out of nothing. With God, everything is possible. He takes the impossible and makes it possible. But by your faith. How do you know that God can do anything if you don't have faith and you don't trust him? You don't believe in him. You don't deal with him. You only think that he's the God of the Bible. He's just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or David, or Daniel, or he was the God of, you know, he's a religious God. No, he's your God. He's my God. And so guess what? If we trust him, we believe in him, we put our life and our faith in him, then we'll discover who God is. Amen. All right, let's take a quick little break. This is getting good, and we're going to be coming right back. All right, so Romans chapter 4, verse 20. We're going to go ahead and take it from here as we read to the end of chapter 4 to verse 25. And so it says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promised. Whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just because Abraham's benefit, it was recorded. So let's kind of stop right here before we read to the end of this. And so we're seeing here where he says that Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. This is a good lesson that we can learn from the life of Abraham. Again, as I said, he had, you know, some shortcomings like all of us do at times in our lives. And this never stops God from using him, from actually given the promise or the covenant to Abraham. And so this is one thing that I love about not just the story of Abraham, but also how God how he interacts with us. So, you know, God is not like us. You know, if somebody lets us down, you know, we're done with them. We write them off. We don't deal with them no more. And this is not how our God is. And so the beautiful thing about God, our creator, our Father, our Heavenly Father, is that when he makes a promise, he keeps his promise. And we can count on a promise that, you know, we can count on a promise that God gives us. And another thing in saying that, we can also count on not only a promises that of God counting on, you know, what he says, but we also can depend on the word. So as we're reading the word, as we're reading this word, we're starting to understand and see here that when, you know, between Abraham and God, there is a relationship aspect to this. So again, this is a pretty awesome thing. And how faith really works. So how faith works, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. God said something, God had basically had said something, and he promised Abraham something. And guess what? Abraham never wavered. According to this, he never wavered in believing God's promise. And then it goes on to say, in fact, his faith grew stronger. Have you ever experienced that where you were in a situation, you had to trust God, and God came through, God had come through, and the beautiful thing about it is your faith becomes stronger. Your faith becomes stronger. You with every situation that you deal with in life,
your faith becomes stronger the more you deal with God. Maybe the first incident you're not sure, but then the next incident or the next situation that you encounter, something that you encounter in your life, you know, with God, then it almost gives you an even stronger ability to believe. And this is what you call your faith growing. So as your faith is growing, you're starting to become more and more in tune with God. That's how it has been in my life. In my life, when I first started off, I wasn't sure. You know, I was still learning about God. I was still learning about his ways, still learning about how he works in my life, still learning to trust him. You know, that's what faith, that's what God really desires. God desires us to simply trust him. And yes, he does understand. If you're an individual right now that you're listening right now and you're not sure if you trust God, you're kind of nervous, you're kind of scared, you're kind of unsure, God understands those things. See, he understands when you're unsure. He understands where your faith is not as strong. It's kind of on an unsure footing. Okay. And so, you know, these are the things that as we grow in the Lord, as you grow in the Lord, that is something that just will increase is your faith, because you're getting to know him. God wants you to know him. See, he doesn't want to be someone distant. He doesn't want to be someone that you just only talk to on Sunday or when you're in trouble and you, oh my God, I need your help. He wants to be involved with you in every single way, in every facet of your life, whether in the beginning of your life, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're having you have a family, you have children, you know, you're a mother, maybe a single mother, a single father, maybe you are a blended family, maybe you are divorced. He wants to be involved in every part of your life. New job, maybe starting a career, maybe losing a job, maybe health care. He wants to be involved in every part of your life. And as you begin to increase that ability, or when you increase his involvement in you, when you invite him, because he'll never force himself to your situation, though he is always watching, he's always interested in you. Do you realize this morning that God is interested in you? He loves you. He's the kind of God that watches you from the time that he observes you, from the time that you grow up, that you wake up, from the time you wake up in the morning to start your day, to the time when you go to bed. He sees you throughout your day. And so if he watches you and observes you throughout your day, then guess what? It's important for you to understand that, and then understand that to talk to him throughout the day. Talk to him. Include him during your lunchtime, during your breaks, okay? And so a lot of times we don't see God as a personal God. We see him, while he may not be, he might be busy, you know. We may say things like that, or he's not interested in this. I'm going shopping. He's not interested in what I'm shopping for. We just got through going through Christmas. You know, how many of us included him in our family planning, or in our shopping, buying gifts for one another? God is interested in all of that. The traffic that you probably endured, the going, you know, people going back and forth on the airport, in the flights. How many times do you feel God understands the hustle and bustle? He watches the hustle and bustle, the frantic pace of people going here and there. He observes those things. He sees us in a way that we don't see him. And he also sees us and is interested in us in ways we don't think he's interested in us. See? He knows every part of you. Have you ever been in a relationship, or are you in a relationship right now where you're so into your husband, so into your father, I mean, your, your, yeah, your father, your mother, or so into your spouse, your wife, your kids, that you observe every detail. You observe the way they talk, the way they walk, what they say, what their likes and dislikes are, what the, you know, just the little mannerisms that they have. God is like that, but he's even beyond, he's even more detailed than even what I've just described. So understand that God is really into you. God is in love with you. God loves you, and he is in love with you. Amen. So let's continue on here before as we come to a close. In verse 21, he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Okay. He was fully convinced. You understand that? So in verse 20, he says he never wavered in God's promises. In matter of fact, his faith, what? Grew stronger. Then verse 21, he's saying he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. It was not just a saying. It was not just positive thinking. It was not just positive affirmations that we hear all the time. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Okay? So then in verse 22, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. I think that is the one of the most important things for us to take away here, is the fact that you are counted as righteous. I am counted as righteous. Why? Not because of how good you are, not how many good deeds you do, or how many times you read the Bible, how many times you pray. With all those things are good. I'm not discounting those things. These are things that will help increase your relationship and get you closer to the Lord as you begin to grow. Okay, but what really, really catches his attention, what he really loves, what he really enjoys, is the fact that we trust him, that we put our faith in him, that we believe him, like Abraham did. He believed in God's promises, and his faith grew strong. You see that? He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promises. Okay, and because of that, the trade-off was that God counted him as righteous. So if this morning, if you're ever thinking, what can I do, or you know, what can I do to please God, or you're wondering if God is pleased with me, if God is, if he loves me, if he, you know, so in other words, don't look at it as I'm imperfect, because he understands that. That's the last thing that he you should feel bad about. Okay, understand that God loves you in spite of yourself, but he also wants to count you as righteous. He wants to see you as righteous. And how does that happen? By believing in him and trusting in him. Okay, trusting in him in every decision of your life, understanding when you hear his voice and he tells you of a promise that he has for you, he's have a direction for you. Okay, those are the things that will bring him a big smile on his face. Okay, a big smile on his face. Listen, and let's continue on here. And in verse 23, and when God counted him as righteous, It wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded. You see? So the moment that you begin your relationship with the Lord, you begin to trust him. He begins to call you righteous. And guess what? The same thing. It is recorded. You are his child. You are his daughter. You are his son. Let's continue on. For our benefit. Now, listen to this. It was recorded for our benefit, too. I'm sorry, I misquoted what I just read. So let's finish that again. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, to assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. You see, that's what we talked about. The one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. See, if let's go back again, for our benefit to assuring us that God will also count us righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. You see, it's very important that as you are a new believer in faith, new believer in the Lord, you are a new Christian. These are the things that you continue to keep believing. You can continue to have faith and trust in. Remember this. And I like the fact that Paul includes this in this verse. Jesus, in other words, if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a very important thing to hold on to. Christianity, it is one of our things that we believe, one of our core beliefs, that we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. It's important to understand why he died. It's important to understand that Christ died on the cross, okay? And he came to sacrifice. Like, matter of fact, when God sent his son to earth, and we just got through celebrating Christmas, and understanding the true meaning of Christmas and how Jesus was brought to earth. In other words, God came down in our world, intruded into our world, and came as a form of a baby, and grew up with his whole mission was to die, was to sacrifice his life. He lived 33 years, Jesus did. And so guess what? When Jesus accomplished that mission, then he went and he was buried, and then he rose. There's a lot of accounts where Jesus said that this is what's going to happen. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to be crucified on the cross. I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to rise again. He told his disciples that. And guess what? Even though it was hard for them to understand and believe and actually understand that this will really happen, he kept his promise. You see that? He kept his promise. Everything he said that would happen, it happened. Okay? And this is something that we as believers now, as we're reading God's word, we can now stake our life and our salvation and our relationship with God, that if he said that he died for our sins and was sacrificed for our sins, and because we believe in him and believe in the sacrifice and the blood that was shed for him, for us, that means that we could trust that we are now saved when we believe in the sacrifice of the blood shed of Jesus Christ on the cross. And on top of that, he not only died, but he resurrected. God resurrected him. And now, because we believe in that, that's a victory. And so why is the resurrection important? You know, I'm going to say this part, because even though it's not in the word, it's in the scriptures that we're reading today, but it's important to understand that the resurrection is victory and power over death. Jesus, when he died and was buried, the resurrection is one of the most powerful miracles that has happened. And I really don't want to call it a miracle. It is only a miracle from our vantage point, because we don't see this all the time. See, this is something that God can do with no problem. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was on the earth, he resurrected Lazarus. Lazarus had died, and then he called Lazarus from the grave. And because he was God's son, and because he was operating in the power of God, he was able to call Lazarus forth, and Lazarus came out. He also displayed the power that he had, the anointing of the fact that he, Jesus Christ, is the resurrection and the life. See, he said that, and that was the reason why. That was a demonstration, but yet it was to show that I am the resurrection and the life. So through him, we can trust and we can believe and we can have our faith in Jesus Christ, in what God has done through his son, Jesus. Amen. Now, verse 25, as we close, he was handed over to die because of our sins. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. That is a wonderful closing and a wonderful conclusion to this Romans chapter 4. He was handed over to die and because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. Listen, it's important, this last part. He was raised to life to make us right with God. Did you make yourself right with God? No. Can I make myself right with God? I cannot. It says here in God's word that he was raised to life to what? Make us right with God. It was God that was able to make us right with God by raising Jesus Christ. And like I said before, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what is an important event. It is something that, other words, it is the completion. The sacrifice was one part, as he died and took upon our sin and was buried with our sin. And matter of fact, as some scriptures say, he had become sin. So when he had become sin, then God saw that the sacrifice was sufficient. God saw that it was enough. It was finished. It was complete. See? And so because he did it, and aren't you glad today that you or I don't have to have anxiety about where we go from here? You don't have to have no worry. If you trust in Jesus Christ, if you trust in God's promise, if you trust in God's word of what God has to say to you, if you trust in this, in other words, the story of Abraham, of Romans chapter 4, as we read how Abraham, through believing God, he was made righteous, not by anything he could do, but by what he believed and how he trusted him. Today, right now, this is the most important message, is that you trust the Lord. You trust God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you love him. As you begin to grow in the Lord, you will begin to trust him. You will begin to follow him. You will begin, your faith will begin to grow. And with every situation and every circumstance, like it said earlier, you will be fully convinced. See, in fact, like it says in verse 20, his faith grew stronger. Abraham's faith grew stronger. And in this, what did it do? It brought glory to God. If you want to bring glory to God, if you want to make him happy, listen, all the things that we do is fine. I'm not discounting those things. I'm not discounting the good deeds that you want to do. I think those are wonderful things. Those are evident because of the fact that you want to be more pleasing. And I'm not saying to not do those things. It's important to do those things. But what's more important is when we go through this life, because this life is full of ups and downs and full of trials and tribulations and challenges, understand God loves you and God wants to see you through every single one of those challenges, every single one of those things that you go through, whether it's good or bad. It doesn't matter. God is impressed with you. He loves you. He is in love with you. He thinks you are the best thing. He is the apple. You are the apple of his eye. I always joke and say that he's my favorite. And this morning, as you listen to this word, tell him, say, God, I know I'm your favorite. I know you love me. I know that I'm everything to you. It may be hard for you based on maybe a relationship you've been in, maybe a broken relationship, maybe a strained relationship or what have you. Do not let that influence you about how you feel God feels about you. God is not like your father, your earthly father, or your mother. God is not like the man or woman that you used to be with. Okay, he is not that person. He's not even the situations, whether it be going through a breakup, a job loss, a health loss, a death, or even maybe a situation. Maybe you was in church and you experienced church hurt. You experienced something that was considered let you down. God is not like that. Do not put God in that category. Don't compare him to anything or anyone that you've encountered or had a bad experience with here on earth. Because guess what? God loves you and he's in love with you. And guess what? You can trust in his promise. You can trust and take it to the bank what he says. See? So, regardless of your experience, regardless of what you have been through, understand that God truly, truly, without a shadow of a doubt, truly loves you. Amen. I hope that this was a good message, good word for you today. It definitely was for me. Okay. So before we close, let's have another word of prayer as we close today. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for another day. We thank you for just your wonderful word, your message to us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that we can put our trust in you. And Lord, we praise you. We praise you. And we want to continue to trust in you, to bring you glory and bring you honor. We thank you that the relationship we have with you is not just based on things that we do or how good we can be. But Lord, we thank you because you allowed us to just be able to trust you and have faith. And Lord, I pray for my listeners that you will increase their faith, increase their belief in you, increase that relationship that you so desire with them. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And anyone out there at this time that doesn't know you, doesn't know your son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, I'm giving them opportunity right now. Let's pray. Let's pray that prayer right now. Father God, here I am. I am not perfect. I am a sinner. I've messed up many times. I've even messed up right now. But Lord, forgive me. Lord, set me straight. Lord, I believe in your son, Jesus Christ. I place my faith and my trust in him, in the sacrifice that was made on the cross for me, the blood that was shed for me, the death that was given for me. You died for me. Lord, I ask right now that I now trust in your sacrifice of your only begotten Son, and I believe in the power of your resurrection. I thank you that you rose for me and that you have victory. And now I believe and I trust in you for my salvation. And I thank you for inviting me and me being your child. Help me to grow in you. Help me to love you more. Help me to understand your word and to pray and talk to you every single day. Thank you so much for all the things you do for me, for the provision you give me, for the protection you give me. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you pray that prayer today, I congratulate you. Welcome to the family of God. This is not a prayer that you have to say just the way I said it, but if you said it sincerely from your heart, you should know how to just talk to him. If in other words, he listens to you. His ear is inclined to you. And whatever your heart's desire is, let him hear you. Talk to him. Okay? And begin to trust him. Trust the process of learning to know who he is in your life. We're coming to a close of the year 2023. I appreciate all of listenership and support that you all have been giving me down through this entire year of 2023. We are now headed into a whole another year of 2024. Like 2023, there has been all kind of maybe challenges, ups and downs. Some of you may have had a good year this year. Some of you not so good. But God is faithful no matter what. And the way he carried you through 2023, he will also carry you or carry us through 2024. I have no new message for you, but just continue to trust God. Continue to walk with God. Increase your faith in him. Going forward in 2024, I'll be continuing on doing what I do, going through the book of Romans. And then from there, we'll see what God has for us then. But in the meantime, thank you. Thank you. Hopefully you all had a wonderful Christmas. Spend time with your families. So until then, I'll be talking to you soon. God bless you. God bless your family. And have a happy and wonderful and blessed new year going into the new year. I'll be talking to you soon. Bye-bye.